From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made last fall when RTS launched more than a year-long project to overhaul the current transit system. And it would be a tall challenge. They can't start from scratch to create a brand new bus and transit system, and so RTS had to figure out how to best change the existing system. They've held dozens of events, compiled thousands of comments and requests from the community, and here are the top three requests that they list hearing most often from the community. Community wants faster, more direct service, shorter wait times, and more frequent service. Now, those are big, broad themes, and to get there, RTS might have to consolidate some bus stops or eliminate some current routes. Their consultant has created a plan in which roughly 95% of current customers would be within a half mile of a proposed bus stop, and there are significant changes to talk about it, so let's do that this hour. We're also going to let you know how you can give us feedback, not only this hour, but in various ways coming forward, because Bill Carpenter, CEO of RTS, who is back here, first of all, it's nice to have you. Thanks for taking the time.
Hey, Evan, glad to be here.
And this is not over yet, right? You're still taking public feedback on this.
Oh, this is prime public feedback time. Our consultant came out with his recommendation at the beginning of the month. We've got over 60 events. Come down to the Transit Center. We have a public event coming up on June 5th. We've already had two public meetings, full presentations. We've got another one on June 5th. And when groups say, hey, would you come talk to us? We want to make sure people understand it, get their feedback. The consultant's final recommendations, his report will be provided to us in August. So we have till the end of June to provide that feedback.
All right, so listeners, if you want to take a look as we go throughout this hour, maybe you're listening at work, you've got access to a computer, a laptop, your mobile device. If you want to check it out as we go, myrts.com or reimagine.myrts.com. Am I right on that?
Myrts.com/reimagine.
Okay, thanks. Thank you, Bill. So there you go, and you can find these recommendations there, especially in visualized form, because sometimes when we talk bus routes, it's kind of hard to envision it. If you've already had a chance to take a look, or if you want to weigh in with questions or comments about what RTS might do based on this, you can call the program this hour. It's 844-295-TALK. That's toll-free, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester. 263-9994. Can I start with those three most common requests from the community, which are broad and sort of obvious, but they are important because it's kind of a puzzle to figure out how to have some shorter wait times, faster, more direct service, and more frequent service. And that's really the core of this, right, Bill? Is that fair?
That's fair, Evan. And if I can, I want to go back. Why did we start doing this a year ago?
Yeah.
If we go back 10 years ago in this community and really most around the country, people either took the bus because they didn't have a car or they took the car. And in our community, it's designed to get anywhere in 20 minutes. And it's just in the last 2 or 3 years. I was on this program about a year ago. We were introducing this concept, but we did not have bike share in the community. We had over 22,000 rides of bike share last year. We didn't have Uber and Lyft. 46% of our customers have told us that they've used Uber and Lyft since it was introduced. So there's a lot of other mobility options that the community is asking for and around the country is being very active. So the question is, where does it make sense for a 40 or 60 foot bus to provide service? And what our customers have told us is we'll use it if we can go out to a bus stop and know that there'll be a bus soon. We don't want to have to build our life around your schedule. We have some buses right now that come every 2 hours. And if you miss that, well, what do you do for the next 2 hours at a bus stop? So how do we create fast service, shorter wait times? And then the number one thing, I've said this before, that customers tell us when they get on a bus, the number one thing is, when do I get off? So how can we make the trip as short as possible and as direct as possible? And so the community, when we go back 30 years ago in Kodak Park and Xerox Webster, were the big employment centers, we designed a system around those places. Over the last 10 years in particular, as those organizations in Bausch & Lomb have downsized, we have a lot of places with 200 employees, 150 employees, 12 employees, 500 employees all over the community. Suburban developments have flourished. Retail has moved from Midtown Plaza to malls all over the place. And so you end up, as you look around, there's very few times that you see a bus is full. And I will tell you, a 40-foot bus is very expensive to drive around the community. And so as our funding has stayed relatively flat for the last 15 years or so, we're just going to the same places less and less frequently. And the demand of now, people want their information now. They want their food now, fast food. They want their transportation now. The idea of going from every 20 minutes like we used to some places to every 60 minutes or 2 hours, people are saying, I'll find another way to get there. And so we really want to reimagine, if we were putting out a transit system now, where would we put it? And when we went out to our customers and really out to the community, got almost 12,000 survey responses last fall, those were the three things. Make it so my wait time isn't very long. Make sure I've got frequent service. So, let me do one more errand before I get on the bus. I don't have to wait long for the next one. And then once I get on the bus, make sure it's going to get there quickly. And unfortunately, you can't go all over the county all the time and accomplish all those things. So our consultant has said, here's 10 routes where you've got good ridership now. Let's put 15-minute service on those routes between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and every 30 minutes on the weekend between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. And now someone can just go out to a bus stop and know, you know, maybe it's 3 minutes this time, maybe it's 10 minutes this time, but there's going to be a bus coming very quickly. He also added two crosstown routes, one on West Ridge Road from where Walmart is on West Ridge Road in Greece to Culver Ridge Plaza. And that route would be going every 30 minutes. And then another one from Culver Ridge Plaza to Golden Fox Restaurant, one of the most popular restaurants in town, down Parcells to Goodman, Goodman to Elmwood, to Strong Hospital, to MCC, to Marketplace Mall. So now you can live in East Irondequoit, have a job at Strong Hospital, go to school at MCC, go shopping at Marketplace Mall, or both those crosstown routes cross a number of our other east-west and north-south routes, so that if you've got 15-minute service on 10 of these routes and a crosstown route, you don't have to go downtown to get from one place to another now. So we've got over 4,300 people that have visited our website, and that was before the show started, so by now we probably have 5,000 hitting our website. We've got over 1,600 customer surveys. Overwhelmingly, people say this system does address those top three needs.
MyRTS.com/reimagine if you want to take a look. And before we kind of get more into that, Bill, one of the common scenarios, and this isn't really a hypothetical, we know this exists, people who may live, you mentioned East Irondequoit, but maybe living in the northern part of Rochester, northeast into Irondequoit, maybe working at a Marketplace Mall. We've heard those stories of 90 minutes to 2 hours to get there. This redesign would take someone in that scenario, no car, and could get there in how much time now?
Well, the route from Culver Ridge Plaza to Marketplace Mall would probably take about 35 minutes. I do want to talk about, you know, I hear often, and we work with the Rochester Monroe Anti-Poverty Initiative and other groups, and they say, well, Bill, you know, it takes 2 hours to get there. And I say, well, you're not on the bus for 2 hours. What takes so long is a long wait time. For your bus in front of your house only comes every 40 minutes. And then you get to the transit center and that bus comes every 40 minutes. And then since the bus only comes every 40 minutes and your job starts at, say, 9 a.m., you're either going to get there at 20 to 9 or 20 after 9. And so by the time you get started to the time your job starts, it's an awfully long time. When those buses are now 15 minutes or 30 minutes apart, we're going to have 20 local routes Monday through Friday, 30 minutes, 10 local routes, 15 minutes. This is what the consultant is recommending. I talk about it like it's going to happen. We're looking for feedback right now, and it's going to be a long time once we get the consultant's report done to finalize and implement what we do, probably summer of 2020. But for that person who lives in Northeast Rochester, if that bus is coming every 15 minutes, connecting to another bus that's coming every 30 minutes, well, now their trip just got done under an hour, most likely.
Possibly cutting trips like that in half.
Correct. And arriving closer to their job start time when they get done at 3 o'clock or 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock, knowing that there's going to be a bus, those frequent routes, those 15-minute routes, those will be 30 minutes in the evening. So you've got just some great frequency. And now you can build your life around the bus and not have to build your life around waiting for the bus.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, your ridership, 46% of your customers since the arrival of Uber and Lyft have used it. Is that right? 46%?
That's correct.
I think that's probably higher than I would have guessed, because there is, stereotype's the wrong word, a thought in my mind that if you're using Uber or Lyft, that, you know, that it's a little higher income bracket, and that RTS has a ridership that is, you know, maybe less. But again, it's a diverse ridership, and I know that matters to you. Is that any more or less than you would have expected a year ago, 46% of your customers occasionally using Lyft or Uber?
Well, the question we ask on our survey, and we just got the survey results last week, so we're talking from July of last year when Uber and Lyft went live, probably to late April.
Sure.
I would not have guessed it would be that high, that they've used it at least one time. But I think if we could survey those people and say, well, why did you use it? We certainly have some good income earners who use the bus as a choice and Uber and Lyft as a choice and try to get away without a car. But when you've got an individual like we just talked about, who is now maybe at home, it's 40 minutes for the next bus in front of their home, to take an Uber or Lyft to the transit center, and we see this often. Gee, it's maybe an $8 trip to the transit center, but they've just saved themselves a tremendous amount of time. Now that bus is the one they need to get to work on time. They've left the home 30 or 45 minutes or an hour later, and they're saying, hey, it's better to use Uber and Lyft for that short trip to get to the transit center or at the end of the day from the transit center back home. So as we see people understanding mobility options, seeing that, gee, it used to be walk, bus, those are my options now. Hey, for a small amount of money, I can use the bus for the longer trip, use Uber and Lyft for the short trip.
Do you have a general sense of your ridership, that what percent of your ridership is carless, doesn't own a car at all?
I wish I had all the statistics at the top of my head. We do know what that number is. I know there's 27% of the households in Rochester that are zero household cars. So I expect as a percentage of our ridership, if in the city there's 20% zero household cars, ours is probably 35 to 45%
Zero car households. Yeah, right.
Thank you.
Okay. Yep. So 35 to 40% off, you know, sort of based on the numbers you've seen. And, so this really matters for a broad population, for the anti-poverty initiative. And what you're describing is the shorter possible times for people who need to go where the jobs are now. I'm going to ask you a question that seems obvious, but is it going to be better for RTS, for people who need these kind of jobs, if we do see a resurgence of jobs downtown?
Certainly, if you build jobs and retail downtown, and the urban core grows, that would be good for bus customers. Our consultant has done a lot of education both to our team generally, our board generally, and then at the public meetings he's been at. Public transit works best when there's dense population, when there's diverse destinations, when the design of the community supports transit. As an example, a suburban cul-de-sac where it's a mile from the main road to the end of the cul-de-sac, that's not a good design for public transit, as opposed to dense housing. And we have that throughout the community, dense housing. But then, is there retail? Are there jobs located nearby? And what's the density? And we took a look at our route design 30 years ago where jobs were located. And the system worked well for where jobs were located and where people lived. The jobs are now dispersed. The system design hasn't changed that much. And now we're saying, well, where is that density? Where are the diverse destinations people are trying to get to? And where is there a design for transit? But one other point I'd make on this, Evan, is I see RTS becoming more a mobility operator, almost the Rochester Genesee Regional Mobility Authority. So that you've got someone in a suburban location who doesn't have a car, it's not going to be a 40-foot bus that comes to their home, but I want RTS to be able to provide them an option, publicly subsidized, to get them to their job, to their healthcare appointment. How do we serve the entire community? What are the different products we need to offer? And what the consultant has recommended is your 40 and 60 foot buses you have, here's where they should be located. And then he's also identified what we call mobility zones, other products that need to be identified.
Vanpool,
expand the bike share program, some type of public transportation network company where we perhaps would subsidize, shuttle service where we don't need to run service every 30 minutes to a location where the jobs are 3, 11, and 7 a.m. But a shuttle can go from an endpoint of our route system, get those people directly to work. So that's another part of what we're working with the community is if the network that the consultant has laid out only goes so far and you need to go beyond that, either to start your trip or to end your trip, what are the other options that we should be developing so that your trip can be full or be finished? Having a bus go beyond a certain point with 3 or 4 or 5 people. As an example, during the day, the bus to Brockport leaves full from the transit center, goes to Rochester Tech Park. There's only 4 or 5 people left going out to Brockport. Is there another product we should have to finish that trip to Brockport rather than a 40-foot bus?
Your buses are most all of them 40 feet, is that right?
We've got 220 buses in our fleet. A little less than 30 of them are the 60-foot, what we call the articulated buses mm-hmm. that bend in the middle, and the rest are the 40-foot buses.
And the fleet size would go from 220 total to what under this proposal?
What we've asked the consultant to do is to take our resources and just redesign it. And so we expect it would take about the 220 buses.
All right, so no more, no less. You're not adding, though.
Correct.
Okay, and you're just redistributing the routes as needed.
Correct.
Okay. More or less use of fuel, roughly the same expectation in terms of output there?
About the same.
Okay, so because I'm just looking at, you got to figure out your funding, you got to figure out what you can afford. There are parts of it, and I got to go back to my notes, there's at least one part in either one of the presentations or the videos that I had a chance to watch that indicated there's one part of the recommendations from your consultant that might not be fully funded yet. So there are some ideas, I think, that are more aspirational. Is that fair?
So those are those mobility zones that I mentioned.
Okay, right.
I'll give a specific example. The consultant is recommending, boy, you've got a lot of service between the transit center out Buffalo Road to Rochester Tech Park. You should go there every 30 minutes. There's so many jobs located. There's a lot of retail along the way. There's some low-income housing and apartment complexes along the way. Going out to Brockport, come out with another, right now we go to Brockport about 10 times a day. And nobody's really happy about the 10 times a day because when you're going less than once an hour, that's where you get into, geez, I'm a student, I've got an 8:30 class, but either get there at 7:25 or 8:45. So I'm there an hour early. RTS, can't you do something? And so we've talked to the president, Heidi McPherson, and said, we want to come up with a product that maybe connects from where that bus ends at Rochester Tech Park. And then is it one-to-one per student, or do we have software where 10 people would call the night before and we have a vehicle? All 10 people go out to Brockport, but it's on demand. They won't have to wait. We'll know that that bus is arriving at that transfer point, and then we'll connect the people to the final destination. Those products, you know, people say, well, Bill, what exactly will it be? I say, well, 3 years ago, if I said bike share and TNCs, you would have looked at me funny saying, well, we don't have those here. I think the products that we're designing will include bike share and TNCs, but it'll include shuttles, Vanpool that you mentioned earlier, and products yet to be designed.
When you talk about on-demand, it recalls for me the debate in the last 2 years about whether the rest of New York State was going to allow Uber and Lyft. And when you heard from taxi unions, you know, there was a lot of consternation about the impact. But one of my first thoughts was, I understand some of the complaints, but what have you learned from the success of Uber and Lyft? And this is sort of an on-demand society. Can you, as a taxi industry, learn from that and adapt to that? And to our listeners and friends in the taxi industry, disabuse me of where I'm wrong on this. Please email me because I want to know where I'm wrong. I was surprised that change has been a little more slow to come, or again, or maybe I'm undereducated on this, and I totally open the door to that. But it looks to me like you're looking at the Uber and Lyft and the on-demand world saying, look, once we get out to Tech Park, we've got to find a way to be more on-demand and more flexible if we're going to do business that better suits people as opposed to sending two buses per hour but taking five people at a time in a 40-foot bus.
Yeah, the expectation of now, and I think of the morning newspaper. I remember when the newspaper had to be printed at 1 a.m., and then when I delivered it in the morning, and when my son delivered it in the morning, you could have the Yankees score in the paper. Well, now if the Yankees play late, it's not in the paper because you've gotten to the tweet already.
Yeah, exactly.
You've read the story. You've gone to the ESPN app. You've watched the video. The expectation to get information, the expectation to get food now, the expectation to not have to go to the grocery store, get it delivered to your house now. And I've got to wait 40 minutes for the next bus? Come on, Bill. I got to wait 2 hours before my next option? Come on, Bill. RTS needs to do better. And that's where we want to be part of the design of products that provide people good public transportation in 40-foot buses, a good network, 7 days a week, and then on-demand solutions so people can get to their job or to their appointment without having to get there so early or stay so late that it's hard to build their life around.
But if you can do this, you're going to change one of the stereotypes, which is that sort of public entities, government entities, are not as adaptive as the private sector.
Well, this is why we've called it Reimagine RTS. It's not trying to tweak what we're doing. It's really start from scratch. How would you do it? You'd have, in the dense urban area, you'd have 40 and 60-foot buses, and those destinations, the healthcare systems, the large employment centers, the dense housing, you're going to provide very good service to get around there. And then the rest of the community, we still want to provide access to the rest of the community through other mobility options.
College students are going to have not just Uber and Lyft apps on their phone, but RTS apps as well?
That's a goal.
Okay. Bill Carpenter, the CEO of RTS, is my guest for the hour. They have, they're entering phase three of their Reimagine RTS. I guess it's a year-long plus project to really redesign what public transit looks like in our community, and they still want to hear from you. We want to hear from you this hour. You can email or call the program. You can email us at connections@wxxi.org. It's 844-295-TALK. That's toll-free, 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. And so let me read Faber's tweet. He says, RTS is redesigning now for changes that happened 15 years ago? Sheesh. Is that unfair?
Well, we've heard a lot of comments, and change is certainly something that is difficult for anyone to go through. But the changes that we're talking about from 15 years ago, so Kodak Park and Kodak State Street used to have 60,000 employees. And then as that dwindled, okay, so it's not a full bus, but there's still 30 people, and then it's 20 people, and then it's 15 people. So at what point in time do you say we need to stop doing that? And when there wasn't any other option, our feeling was we'll just go as frequently as our funding allows. The reason now is the other mobility options that are coming about, the bike share, the van pool, the TNCs. Autonomous vehicles will be around in our lifetime. So you talk about the ultimate on-demand solution for an individual.
So as the CEO of RTS, you are fully expecting that to happen? Autonomy vehicles.
Absolutely.
Soon?
So the University of Buffalo is piloting an autonomous bus on a set track. We've heard in Arizona and California the autonomous vehicles. I think they'll get that technology that they say, well, geez, in Arizona somebody died. And in my neighborhood, a 74-year-old woman got hurt Monday night by a 48-year-old driver, sober, didn't see her in the dark. I expect an autonomous vehicle would have seen her in the dark because the LIDAR would have allowed for it. So I do see that technology happening. If RTS provides it, my expectation, there will always be someone in the vehicle because we're going to deal with folks with mobility limitations. We'll want to make sure everyone in the vehicle is safe. But that's going to be one of the options out there to provide the ultimate on-demand, hands-free option for people who want to use that option.
All right. I've got some emails coming in for Bill Carpenter, the CEO of RTS. He is talking about Reimagine RTS, and you can check out the latest proposal from their consultant, which is not fully adopted yet. And even if it does happen, we're talking probably, I think, Bill, you said maybe a couple of years away from the full change playing out? I mean, is it going to be in stages if it happens?
what we're expecting to happen, Evan, the consultant, they're doing a report, and the consultant comes from out of town, does a nice job, listens to a lot of our customers, getting this feedback. He'll have a final report. We've asked him to stay within our current funding, but I think we're going to see that there's a lot of other elements that are unfunded that the community will want. We'll want to talk to our funders, talk to the community, come up with a final plan probably a year from now, and then take a year to implement it. So we're talking this summer of 2020.
Okay. And listeners, if you want to call the program and weigh in with more questions, I see a bunch coming in via email. You can call us as well here. So we're going to address more of your questions about how this is going to work. It sounds to me, based on what the CEO is telling us and based on Faber's tweet there, that a generation ago or 20, 30 years ago, RTS redesign, it was a very different time. On-demand wasn't really what it is now. And so you could design bus routes based on the current job outlay and where the jobs were located and the needs and the ridership, knowing that that was going to be the case for a while. It sounds now like it's kind of a hybrid, that you've got a rough idea for where the jobs and the needs are now, but what you want on the edges are a lot more flexibility in size and frequency and allowing people to use apps, whether it's college students, people working different hours, and that would maybe allow you to be more adaptive going into the future. Because if Rochester downtown has a resurgence in jobs, you want to be more ready to say, okay, well, we don't have to keep this route out, you know, 25 minutes west of here that now the jobs have moved downtown. But it sounds to me like you'll be more adaptive in that way.
We'll certainly be more adaptive. When you get into the suburban location, Henrietta has done a great job of locating jobs. But we'll take John Street as an example. It's not like a downtown high-rise where you've got thousands and thousands of people with a number of different businesses. Each business has their own identity. And so when you get a handful of bus customers at each location, one starting at 4 in the afternoon, working till 9 o'clock at a call center, someone else, well, I start at 5 and I go till 1 a.m., someone else, 7 a.m. and I go till 3 p.m. So it's not like you can have dense busing going out to that location. If there's a handful of people, we want to take that bus where there would be a dense destination and then have a product waiting at that transfer point at 3 o'clock, at 4 o'clock, at 5 o'clock to get people where they need to go. And then, as you say, on an app to say, hey, I'm done at 10 o'clock at night, get me back to that transfer point and provide good frequency from that transfer point so I can get home.
All right, let's get our only break of the hour. And when we come back, we've got Jason, Jane, Mark. I will read your emails to Bill Carpenter, CEO of RTS. If you want to call, we want to hear from you. Are you taking the bus? Are you taking Uber and Lyft? Are you using other forms of transportation? Are you interested in Vanpool? Are you using bike share? 844-295-TALK, toll free. And what would change that for you? 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. We continue on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, what are we teaching our boys when it comes to breakups, boundaries with girls in their classes, dating, appropriate behavior and inappropriate behavior, another mass school shooting outside Houston, Texas last week indicates that a boy was struggling with rejection. Why are so many turning to violence? We'll discuss it next hour. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Let me read a couple of emails from our listeners for Bill Carpenter, the CEO of RTS. Jason says, one thing about the recommendations that you can't see on their maps is that the last bus would be at midnight. Currently, the last bus is 1:30 a.m. Could Bill go into more detail about this change? Will there be any kind of accommodation made for workers who are scheduled to work until 11 p.m., but sometimes work late? I'm thinking hospital nursing staff, for example.
Great question. We didn't ask the consultant, hey, put together a plan that everyone would get excited about, but we can't afford. Here's how much we're spending now. Redesign the system so that we can afford what you recommend. And so on the weekends, as an example, we would be starting at 6 a.m. instead of 5 a.m. During the week right now, we start at 5 a.m. We would end at midnight instead of 1 a.m. And when we say midnight, the last bus leaving the transit center would be at midnight. So you really have service till 12:30 or a little bit after. And we do have some number of people each night getting on the bus right now at 1 a.m. And the question is, do we want to continue to spend the dollars there or come up with a custom solution for that number of people and turn around and give those dollars so that there's more frequent service? And that's the feedback. We're absolutely looking for that type of feedback. Bill, continue to start early. Continue to stay open late. I'd rather have less frequency during the day, but extend the hours. That would be great feedback for us to get.
It doesn't sound to me, though, like you may hear a few people say that, but for the most part, it sounds to me like you think that this is one of the accommodation or one of the compromises that you have to make, or at least it looks like you may have to make. Yes?
Well, this is where you've thrown my title around a lot. We've got the CEO. But this really is a collaborative process with the community. And it isn't, you know, we serve, as far as unique people, I think we serve about 150,000 unique people in the community. Some use us every day, some use us a few times a month, some a few times a year. But at the end, what we're going to have to do is come up with a system that really works as a public transit system. A 40-foot bus costs almost $500,000 these days. Where's the best place to put that bus? Serve the most people. Phase two is where we introduce the guiding principles. And the guiding principles were, yes, we want to make it more convenient for the customer, which is less wait time and more direct service. But another guiding principle was maximize ridership. So if you have a bus where there's only a handful of people and there's an opportunity to put that same amount of resource out for 30 or 40 people, one of the guiding principles is find a way to serve those handful of people differently, but get the bus where it can serve the 30 or 40 people.
And so as Jason thinks about that nursing staff member who's usually done at 11, maybe leaving at 1:30 some night, you've talked a couple times this hour about custom solutions. Ideally, let's play the ideal world. It's 2022. Things are really going well for the Reimagine rollout, and you've got more flexibility. People have apps on their phones. For that member of a nursing staff, what might a custom solution look like if it's not going to be a 40-foot bus?
So that the ideal solution, and Los Angeles is working with Conduent, one of the Xerox spinoff companies that we work with quite frequently. In Los Angeles, you would go to an app and say, here's where I'm trying to get to, and here's the time of day. And it will list the different options, the bike share program, the vanpool program, Uber and Lyft, the bus system in Los Angeles, the rail system. It's all on one app. Do you want the quickest service, most environmentally friendly? Cost isn't an option. And ideally, that's where I would see that person going to is to say, gee, there is a public option. RTS has a handful of people out, and it's going to be 35 minutes before they can come by and pick me up. Or Uber and Lyft is this amount of money. Do I want to wait for that individual from RTS to come get me, or do I want to pay a premium because my time is valuable?
All right. This is from a listener. I don't have a name on this. A texted email says, devout RTS customer here and devout dumb phone user. Will there be a texting format or phone line for those potential app services?
Boy, that is a technical question. I am confident that we'll find a way for someone to be able to call in, have that switched from voice to text to make that work. I'm sure the technology is going to be available in the near future.
Okay. This is from, let me see here. This is from Jane. Evan, as someone who lives in Webster, I've had a frustrating time with RTS. When I was in college, I didn't have a car, despite the stereotype of everyone in Webster automatically getting a car upon turning 16. So I took one bus from Webster to Midtown and another from Midtown to MCC. Same scenario when I went to Nazareth. And there were so few times to get buses. There wasn't a bus back to Webster between 9:30 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. I was out of luck when classes were canceled. Over 20 years later, I still work downtown, and there are even fewer runs to and from Webster. The cost is better than I was in college, but it is super inconvenient. What would you say to Jane?
Well, Jane is a classic example of why we're reimagining RTS. So the question is, there's about 250 customers a day, or 250 trips, 125 people a day we serve in Webster with 10 round trips. So it's about 12 or 15 people. Now, one or two buses might have 20 or 30 people, and then some have 8 or 10 people. The question is, should we take those 10 trips out to Webster and back, or find a solution that when Jane needs to go out to Webster, there's a transportation option that she can choose on demand. Maybe it's not a dollar. Maybe there's a higher cost. Maybe it's $3 or $5. But valuing her time and that option on demand, and then we turn around and take those 10 trips that instead of out to Webster and back can be made 20 trips on a shorter route, serving many more people than the individuals. Those are the conversations that the consultant has had with us. That's what's in his recommendation. Jane should myrts.com/reimagine, take the survey, put in her comments so we can make sure they're captured.
All right. Thank you, Jane. Lewis in Farmington on the phone next. Go ahead, Lewis.
Yes. I'm a resident of Seneca County. I'm working in Farmington today. My question is about the rural services you have. For years, I was using what was called STS, Seneca Transit Service, which is part of the RTS system. And using the southbound system, they kept running way out, and I'm sure they still do. I haven't been on the bus in a couple of years, but they run way out where there's not a house to be seen. If there's a house, there's two houses where if they made a left, they could save 10 minutes or 5 minutes at minimum, and they'd be going by many, many houses, and I know a lot of the people along there would happily take the bus if it went by their house closer than a mile. And I was just wondering if they plan on modifying, like, the rural systems like they're trying to do up here, up in the city with the local system.
All right, Lewis, thank you. Go ahead, Bill.
Lewis, thank you very much for being a customer. Seneca Transit Service is a subsidiary of RTS. We now brand it as RTS Seneca. We've been providing service out there, I think, since 2004. And summer of last year, we did redesign the routes. We serve the seven regional counties, Ontario, Wayne, Seneca to the east, Livingston, Genesee, Wyoming, and Orleans to the west. After a long public process, we did redesign the routes in all the counties, and I believe in Seneca County, we now have a southern route and a northern route, specifically addressing, I think, what Lewis was mentioning, where you'd have a long stretch where it's no density of people, trying to capture, put routes where people are, and then more connections into Lyons. We now connect Lyons and Wayne County with Geneva, with Seneca Falls and Waterloo, so that someone can get from Seneca County. We always had a transfer point in Geneva, but now we've got the bus from Wayne County coming into Geneva, so someone could get up into Wayne County and making better cross-county connections.
All right, let me get Pam in Rochester next. Go ahead, Pam.
Hi, and I want to thank the guy ahead of me for defining rural versus the suburban routes. I live out in suburbia and work on East Avenue. The challenge that I see after a conversation with one of your reps in the terminal yesterday, who I view as a marketing person and not someone that really understands the plan, is that there will be no Park Avenue bus coming down East Avenue. There will be no buses coming down East Avenue. There will be hardly any buses going out to the suburban areas. For instance, I live out by Elmridge Center, which today is Route 14. That's going to be gone. My understanding is I'm going to have to figure out where I get a bus from where I work. I don't know if it's going to be Main Street, Alexander, whatever. And then I have to go to probably the terminal. From there, I will either have to take if you still have these routes, a 15 Dewey to Ridge, a Lake Avenue, and then crossing West Ridge Road in the winter. And I have low vision and I'm blind in one eye. And then I have to wait on a corner for a bus that's going to come allegedly every 30 minutes from the Skyview Terrace Medley Center, whatever they're calling it today. And so you're now going to make me increase the number of my transfers. And you are going to make it more difficult and probably have it be a lot longer before I can get home in the evening. And I understand that there are Brighton routes that have been cut and other suburban routes that those of us who work and really even pay for our ticket rides on RTS will no longer have available to us. I don't know of any company in Rochester at this time who has the financial wherewithal to sponsor a shuttle bus for their employees. All right. October to April, you are going to tell me I have to take a bike. Actually, the bike can't be part of my commute anymore. Thirdly, then you're talking about doing Uber or Lyft, who I think it's absolutely ridiculous if you think they're going to agree to take somebody from Westridge Road out near Hamlin to some bus stop for a reasonable fare.
So, Pam, there's a lot there. Please stay on the line. Let's let the CEO. Let's let the CEO respond to some of that first. Go ahead, Bill.
Pam, can you tell me again where you're starting from Westridge Road in Greece? Where are you trying to get to?
I work on East Avenue near the Channel 10 station. In good weather, I don't mind walking to the transit system, but again, I have physical issues, and I don't qualify for your access bus any longer. So it's just amazing how people are going to have to sit down and map out a way to get home at night or to work.
Okay, well, hold on for one second here, Pam. Go ahead, Bill.
Sure. So we've got a bus that will crosstown route on Ridge Road from Elm Ridge Plaza to Culver Ridge Plaza in Irondequoit. So you'll be able to take that bus if you want to transfer to Dewey, to Lake, to St. Paul, Clinton, Hudson, etc. And then there will be the bus going out will go along East Avenue past Channel 10, and then it'll go from East Avenue to Alexander down Park, and then where Park ends, come back out on East Avenue. There'll also be a University Avenue bus. So I think to get to Channel 10 on East Avenue, it would be the Route 14 does kind of an elaborate system to get out where it's going to. We're going to take that system. It does sound like you would need the Elm Ridge Crosstown, the Ridge Road Crosstown, you could transfer to the Hudson from Main Street, walk over to Channel 10, or any of the buses going to the transit center. It does sound like it would take three buses.
Okay. Pam?
And I start at 7 a.m. and I'm done at 3:30. They also suggested that I think about a rideshare, but being blind in one eye, I don't have a license, so I certainly can't be part of a rideshare. And then you have to hope that whoever's driving that day does not have to go home early, because then everybody else's ride sharing is out of luck.
But Pam, I want to ask you a question that I do not mean to sound insensitive, but I want to ask an honest question.
Okay,
because part of what RTS has to do is look at an existing system where, I don't mean to distill this to winners and losers on where the buses are and what's available, but currently we have a society where that's pretty easy shorthand way of describing it. And there's a lot of people who, again, it takes 90 minutes, 2 hours to get to work for some folks. And some folks trying to get out of poverty don't really have direct routes. So when you have a big redesign, you can redesign it to benefit the most. And there inevitably will be a small subset of what we might call winners and losers. And I don't know if you're in that second population. I'm asking you if you accept that you might be, and that it might be better for more people, and that it's unfortunate for some. And if you're in that category, would that be okay with you if it benefits a lot more people currently living, for example, in poverty?
Well, of course. But the challenge that I find is I believe that their initial survey was fundamentally wrong.
Okay.
Because they ask people to rate attributes, and that's fine because, you know, everybody thinks something's more important. But what they didn't do, and they didn't do anything to help with a gap analysis, was to say, okay, so if these are the three things that are most important to you, and more frequent service is your number one, would you be willing to give up something? So that they could then look at a gap analysis. The other challenge that I think they have is, while there are some very vocal riders, I'm one of them, I've been had lots of issues, and I've worked well with their customer service department, and they're very good folks. But most people, even in the terminal yesterday, after we talked to their marketing folks who didn't know Park Avenue was going to have a route that would come down East Avenue, they don't really know what's going on. They see these wonderful signs that say, reimagine RTS.
Okay.
Okay, what are we reimagining?
All right, well Pam, just because I got to fit in some other feedback, thank you for the phone call. And Bill, for Pam, I know you want to hear from her online. There's still time. What
there
can
is.
People do to give you that feedback?
Well, Pam, it sounds like you've approached our folks. Feel free to call the customer service department, and set up a time where you and I can talk if you like, or we can have someone who specifically understands the system as well as a consultant does to make sure that your answers are specifically addressed.
And online, if you want to take their survey, you can still do that. It's myrts.com/reimagine. I've got a ton of other feedback, so let me squeeze in as much as I can, Bill.
Thanks, Evan.
Noel on Twitter says, I hope they address the issue of safety. I hear a lot about innovation, but my biggest issue taking the bus for 4 years was safety regarding fights and harassment on the bus and at stops.
Safety is the number one. Our mission statement reads, we are community's provider and partner for safe, reliable, and convenient public transit that people can build their lives around. And safety is the number one issue. I think you'll see a heavy security presence at the transit center. I know our operators are really well trained when something happens to get the police or a road supervisor there. But those incidents are very infrequent. The sense of insecurity can be difficult, but we've got cameras on all the buses, cameras everywhere at the transit center. So when someone does have a specific issue, we get it addressed and taken care of.
Right now, you feel you're happy to stand by the safety record right now of RTS?
I am.
Okay. Noel, thank you for that. Tom on Twitter says, it sounds like RTS is addicted to the big bus model, and that seems to go against the grain of the microtransit trend. Do you think he's misreading the conversation? What do you think, Bill?
Well, I think where you have volumes of people trying to get from the same place to the same destination, a 40 and 60 foot bus is the best way to get there. But all those mobility options are very much along the micro transit on demand solutions that I think that individual is talking about.
It's important. We've got some questions that have come in on bike share. And Bill reminded me that it was last July. So we're coming up on a year since bike share in Rochester. You said at the outset, 22,000. What's the number on usage of bike share?
My understanding is the city had 22,000 uses of the bike share program.
And that's run through the city, not RTS. But how much does that impact you and the plans for RTS?
Well, we were pleased to find out that two of our locations, College Town and the Transit Center, that we're working with the city on, those are branded by RTS, were two of the top five locations. I saw someone contact us yesterday who said, geez, I can take a bus from here to here, I'm sorry, a bike from here to here. It only takes 10 minutes. By bus, it would take 45 minutes to an hour and a half. And I said, that's exactly why we need to look at all the mobility options. Put 40-foot buses where there's high demand, and then those other trips to have other solutions so people don't have to take as long as a bus takes sometimes.
And last quick one, JP says he thinks U of R grad students in apartments could be out of luck. Very disappointed to learn that Route 48 or 47 not going to go down Elmwood and make a stop at U of R.
So the Brighton situation, I have heard a number of comments ask my folks. I said, why are we recommending the 48 down Elmwood be taken away? And they showed me the map of where people originate and end their trip. And the 48 really wasn't serving people very well. And that crosstown route, that Culver Road crosstown route that will go down Goodman to Elmwood to Strong Hospital, 15-minute service on Monroe Avenue at that point, service on Park Avenue and University. There's going to be tremendous ways to get from where people are actually starting their trip to Strong Hospital, University of Rochester, and very pleased to see the level of service. And we've met with the folks at the University of Rochester. They seem to understand it. It might take a different trip than someone now, but the Route 48 is not a well, it doesn't have high volume on it.
MyRTS.com/reimagine. Can comments be submitted via the website?
Comments can be taken. Call 288-1700 and talk with someone. Come to the Transit Center. Our public events are at myrts.com/reimagine.
Tuesday, June 5th. 6 p.m. at the Edgerton Recreation Center Ballroom on Backus Street in Rochester. 6 p.m. Tuesday, June 5th for public information, yes?
Yes, and other public events on our website.
And when are you, 10 seconds, when are you going to have a final plan in place?
Summer of 2020.
Summer of 2020, this will happen. Okay. Bill Carpenter, CEO of RTS.
Thanks,
thank
Evan.
You. Nice having you, as always. More connections coming up.